This is week three of a planned three on the relationship between Poel and Eved. And as I said in the email that I sent out, if there's anything that we don't get to today, I think I'm likely just going to record it and send it out. And Sammy will be able to start next week on a new topic. I wanted to just very, very briefly note two questions which came up last time. One was regarding that Ritva that we talked about, the Ritva in Shuvah Kuf Yud Zayin, also linked in his Perush Shetuba of Mitziah and Hayam and Beis. We talked about the question of a Poel who not only accepts that he's going to work for somebody, but does a kinyan. And the question of whether that kinyan can actually prevent him from backing out during his work. So, you know, unquestionably, the language that he uses, both in the tshuva and in his perush, is that the worker is not necessarily trying to make such a commitment, and the boss is not necessarily trying to demand such a commitment, but that it's by default. When you make a kinyan, that adds to the standard agreement that you're going to work for the person, and maybe automatically gets rid of the ability to be choser. At the same time, like, we're going to see an article by Rav Asher Weiss and others who spin this ritva as apparently talking about or leading to a discussion about where the worker is masna, where he actually makes a condition that he won't back down. That's number one. Number two is the ketzos. Sammy raised the question last time where, when we were talking about the origins of the prohibition against becoming an eved. So we had kili and we had kiyomuch, but the ketzos said, we assumed he said that it was a dirabanan. So Sammy asked if that was really what the ketzos was talking about. I rebrought the ketzos for you in Aleph, where he talks about a worker who swears that he will stay and work, and he says amnam benishbat sarach lekayim shvuasa. He has to fulfill the oath. The adam asur lahaskir asmo biyosim bishalosh, because that which a person is not allowed to hire himself after more than 3 years, eino ela midirabanan. That's a dirabanan, but dirabanan lo havi mushba va'omid mehar Sinai. And on a dirabanan, so you don't say he is mushba to observe that, and therefore his shavua, that he's going to stay and work, overrides whatever it is that doesn't want him to work beyond 3 years. So Sammy asked the question, is the ketzos saying what I had assumed, which is that the whole issue of don't be an eved is dirabanan? Or is he saying that it's just not working 3 years is a derabanan, but the reason why is because of the delraisa of kili / kiyamuch? So I bring the language of the Pisrei Choshen, because that was what I had been basing my read of the Ketzos on. And you tell me what he thinks. In source base, he says in Mistabek, he's talking about the Chavos Yoyer. In the case of the Rav Vashamash, he's talking about the issue of the Rav who takes a job for more than 3 years and more than 6 years. The Vaktos HaChoshen Kasav, Shegam Pisuk Ta'amim Bichlal Avodas Hashem Belo Garam Mitfilo. We're going to talk about that later, I expect. The question that he's dealing with is, the question Chavos Yoyer is dealing with, is whether we distinguish between work you're doing for another human being and work you are doing for Hashem. And what happens when the work you are doing for another human being is service of Hashem, such as teaching somebody to lane. It's avodas Hashem, but on the other end, you're an eved to the person who has hired you. So that's just a side note here. But he says, "Mikomakom masik she'eno yachol achzor." His conclusion, the conclusion of the ketzos, is that you are not able to back out of that job. Mishum she'iser eved la'avadim eino ela midirabanan. So you see his language. He thinks that it's the whole kili thing is a derabanan. That's certainly the way Pisrei Choshen takes it. I will tell you, there have been a few times that I've seen in the ketzos along the way in this discussion, and I've seen it before, that he says some things that I'm not so sure are pshat. In some way, it could be that that's his read of the ketzos, but that's not the ketzos' read of the ketzos. So don't feel meshubit to it. The language of the ketzos himself in Aleph is really vague. But that's why he took the ketzos. Natalie, what do you say?
No.
Okay. That's not a bid. Okay, yeah.
Is it included in any of the mitzvot?
I have not noticed it in any of the minyan mitzvot. However, the Rambam brings it in Mishneh Torah. And under Kiyamuch, right? And we saw in the beginning of Hilchos Avadim where the Rambam says, you're not allowed to sell yourself as an eved. Right? He doesn't bring it as a lot, no.
Right.
Yeah. So you could still say that it's a derabbanan of some kind, or it's an iser aseh, and he doesn't include it in the minyan mitzvot based on one of his shirashim, right? Yeah.
But when someone is totally has no food, or anything, you said that was okay.
I don't mean Yisrasei, lava bamechlalasei.
You said that was okay then, to tell yourself.
We said that yes, if he's broke, that's when he's supposed to.
Okay,
correct.
You're talking about not.
Correct, which we should come back to by the end of this year today or in the extra recording. Okay. But that's just wrapping up those 2 points, the Ritva and the Ktzos from last time. What we were in the middle of was the question of somebody who's going to depart midday, but in ways that don't express freedom from avdus. Either leaving or threatening to leave in order to get a better salary, because the market's gotten better for his line of work, or leaving in order to take a different job. And we said, this isn't an issue within view number one that says a poel is an eved and we're happy about that. And it's not an issue within view number two, which says the poel is able to leave because he's not an eved, and therefore who cares why he's leaving? It doesn't matter. He's not an eved. He's never become an eved. He's not going to look like an eved. The question is only within view number three, which says that he is already eved-like. He's taking payment for work, and we want to avoid activities that intensify his avdus, and therefore we will allow him to break his agreement and leave under normal circumstances. But here, there are weaknesses. Number one, because maybe this special license to leave is only in order to avoid being an eved. But it's unfair to the boss if we're going to give him the power to leave so that he can negotiate a better deal for himself. So one reason not to let him leave if he's saying, I'm going to go if you don't pay me more, is that wasn't why we're doing this. That's unfair to the employer. Hang on one second. I just want to go through the second point. The second argument is, maybe the special license only applies in the event that he is diminishing his avdus. He is, in fact, reducing his status as a slave. Someone who's just going to perpetuate it by going to work for somebody else doesn't have the right to leave here. That's the argument, even though, as we noted last time, and as we're going to see today, you can make the argument that jumping from one position to another is exactly what free people do. Right. That we have to see that. But that's the those are our two reasons to say you don't have the right to negotiate a better deal with the threat of leaving, and you don't have the right to say I'm going in order to work for somebody else. Jerry.
Shouldn't the lateral of this be the same as continuing without this? Like it's like sort of where it says.
Yeah, that's the argument. That's the question.
Yeah.
That's exactly the question.
Okay.
So indeed, some argue that he may not back out in the event that he says, I'll stay with you if you pay me more. The Torah brings this from the Ri. It's in Source Gimel. Umiya Omer Ri, Danka Kishachose Bo Stam. The ability to leave is only when he leaves Stam. But if he says, nothing doing, I can get more for this, you pay me more or somebody else can pay me more, Ein Shomen Lo. We don't let him do it, and the Bach writes, the reason, I underlined it in Source Dalid, Gali Naided and Nechale Ba'Abdus and Mishalim Lo, Ba'alabai is Kriya Yoker. He has shown, Abdus is just fine as long as you pay me. The Ramah brings this also from the Torah, and the Sma explains it similarly in Source Hey. He says at the end of the line, Vatam Delon. We don't give him the power to do this in order to make more money. That wasn't the idea. And that's the Maharid also in Source Vav, who presents it as if the Poel says, I want to go rest, I'm tired of being a Poel, the end of the line in Vav. Ava Pishu Omer Shirotzla Nuach begin Shem. Well, this is actually the other end of it. This is the other side of it. Ava Pishu Omer Shirotzla Nuach begin Shem Hayumosif and Losacha Hayamisratze Lav Kol Kamine. If he says, I want to rest, because he's trying to get them to say, we'll pay you more to work, he doesn't have the strength to make that statement. So all of these views, all of these positions, the Torah, by the way, I can't find the Ri in any actual writings of the Ri. And I hunted around, I couldn't find anybody who would say, is this a Tosu somewhere, is this a Shut somewhere, but the Torah quotes it, and the Torah is pretty good on these things. So, Torah, Bach, Ramah, Sma, Maharit. However, others say no, it's fine to back out for more money, don't sweat it. Why? Two reasons. Number one, motivation is irrelevant. The fundamental rule is, Poel Chozer Bachatzi Hayom. Right? Poel is allowed to walk away. And once you say the Poel is allowed to walk away, that means that his agreement is non-binding. And it doesn't matter if later on he says, I want to walk away for a bad reason. Fundamentally, the employment agreement that he had included the power to leave. Take a look at Source Zion. I brought it from the Imre Esh, Meir Eisenstadt. Asher degali rachmana avadai heim. Once the Torah says, they're my slaves, not yours. Paul Yachamasa, I'll call upon him, Lashabas Batel. He can leave to go do nothing. Mamele ain't gufu meshubad. Once you say that, there's no shibad on him. He's not bound. Vishuv ach machmas yoker, delo shaychi avada, delo shaych avada hey, mikomagim yachalachzer. To a menish topic, there's nothing binding him. It doesn't matter. The agreement is not binding. The Chavos Yor makes the same point. The Chavos Yor Kuvav, in the case of a maid, of a shifcha, he makes the same point. So that's number one. Is it doesn't matter what his motivation is now. The halacha is work agreements are non-binding. The second argument is, and this is what Ezra wanted to say before, is that the premise for our question is wrong. Backing out to take a different job or to get more money does not reflect a commitment to being an eved. It reflects a commitment to the free market. This is what free people do. The Pesach Hoshen in Ches, he says, "Kishomer she'en kedai lo lavo b'shvil sachar muad kazeh." When he says it's not worth it for me to work for such a low salary, "V'rakim yosif lo ascharo yaskim li hisha'er," and only if they add will he decide to say, "V'lo mishum shemekabalei til achar yosir alashenoach lo leishiv batal." Not because he has a better offer somewhere, but he says it's not worth it for me to go to work if I'm not getting paid better. "Efshar shemode harisha yachalasa shegamzeh ma'ise ben chorin." He says that we may well agree. That's what free people do. Yes,
I would add that this is, you know, a key component to discussions about striking.
Yes.
Meaning we have the right to strike to get better wages.
Right. I have studiously avoided bringing in striking because there's a major difference between striking and this. Right? Which is in striking, you expect your job to be protected.
Right.
You know, that's why I haven't gone into the strike discussion. In these cases, Poa Choser Bachatsi Ayom, that's fine. Good luck finding more work. You're not coming back. But the Imre Esh notes that this is actually a Gemara in Bava Metzia. It's not a surprise. Take a look at Source Test, and just the opposite. It makes you wonder about the Re. The Gemara in Bava Metzia in Zion, right? With the case in which, the end of the line, I'm not going into the whole discussion of Shemela Masha Asu and 6 and 2 and 4 and whatever, but Lo Ticha the Aikara Viditza the Imru Polim Vaza Balabaisu Vaisinu, right? It's where work went up in value, the Polim rebelled and said, we're not interested, the Balabais said, alright, I'll pay you more. So that shows you, ostensibly, workers saying, we're going to leave, and saying, but we'll stay, now that you're offering us more. It's not quite the same, it's not explicit. But you have that, it sounds like it. You could distinguish and say, they didn't say it explicitly. They just said, we're leaving, and he offered them money, and they accepted it. They didn't say, we're leaving unless you pay us more. So it's not quite the same. The Aruch HaShulchan says, indeed, you may back out in order to get better wages, but yado ala tachtona. I brought you that in Source Yud. He says, ein lanu l'rachim olav. We should not have mercy on him. And this is like the Sma in Shin Lama Gimel Tez Zayin as well. Because this isn't why we gave you the right to walk away. And therefore, we're at least going to diminish your hand in this. The other alachatoni of the lower hand means when it comes to compensation for your work, for the work you already did, your compensation will be based on the lesser of what you did versus what he's going to have to pay to get somebody to finish the job. If you learn through the Gemara, you're already familiar with this. It was an $800 gig. You did $500 worth of work, and you say that's what I want to be paid. But the boss says it's going to cost me $400 in order to get somebody now. So therefore, I'm paying you $800 minus $400. I'm paying you $400, not the $500 you want. That's the yada wala tachtona. You have the weaker hand. Some argue to actually split our two cases. And say, it's true that you can threaten to walk away in order to get better wages. However, you can't walk away in order to take another job. That's not the restatement. The re talked about the better wages case. The Pesach Tshuva, though, thinks it's an obvious application of the re's point. I brought it for you in Yud Aleph. He says, "V'hine madepshita leila hagon hanal," meaning the Chavos Yoyer. "Da'avim holei chaponi balabayi zeb nisker etel achir amrinan poel chozer b'viyadu al yona." The Chavos Yoyer took it as a given that the worker is able to go get a job with somebody else, and not only that, Yado al halyona. Lichora lo nira came divrei atur b'shemri. He says, I don't think so. Not from what the Tur quoted from the Ri, which the Rama brings. Shekasa v'daka shechazer stam av lemchazer machmas yoker ain shomen lo. When the Ri makes his statement about backing out in order to get more money, he says, that certainly implies ours as well. He quotes you the Bach, which we've already referenced. And he says, flipping onto the second side, after the Akam Lashono, the second line, Im Kain Hu Hadin, Hecha Shenisker Eitzel Achir, De'in Shomen Lo, so too, if he takes a job with somebody else, we're not going to listen to him. Mashma De'in Shomen Klal, Afilim Rotelios Yadav Al HaTachtona. Now he's in Ebed. We're not going to listen to him at all. He's not allowed to take the other job. He can't even say, fine, I'll take a lesser, I'll have the weaker hand and claim in compensation for what I already did. Nothing doing, pal. The Pisnei Tshuva says, absolutely not. This isn't what I draw from the Ri. However, the implication here, the implementation here is going to be difficult.
Why?
Because how long do you have to be out of work to avoid this problem? What does that mean? I can't ever take another job. That's why I told you that we were going to deal with this, and now we're dealing with this. The Pesach Choshen indeed is concerned about it. He addresses it in Parakid Aleph Ha'aravav. He's concerned for there being a trick when the guy says it's not for another job, really. Mm-hmm. But what do you know? The Chazon Ish gives you a simple way to do it. If you take a look at Yud Beis. It's only if you take the new job within the term of your previous work. But once that term ends, once the original contract is over, then of course you can take a job for somebody else. He doesn't lose the right lemafreya retroactively. Now you can no longer work for anybody. It just means you have to wait until the first term would have ended, which may be a very long time. But that's the idea in the Chazon Ish. So we're seeing a very strong position against backing out to take another job. However, the logic to prohibit here is still difficult. Taking another job doesn't really intensify his avdus. First of all, free people back out of a bad because of a bad relationship with a boss all the time. Right? You're in a position, you're in a job, it's not working out, the work environment is terrible, and you say, you know what, I'm going to go work somewhere else. That doesn't mean you like being an Eved. It means that you want better working conditions. The Stroys Yigimel, the Pesach Choshen quotes that from the Minchas Pitim, which I assume is the one from Rav Meir Arik, but I didn't actually see it inside. He says, Minchas Pitim mistapik shirotza poa lachzor mishum shabala bayis harishon kashalova shini noach yoser. Right? The Minchas Pitim isn't sure, would this really apply if somebody backed out because his first boss just wasn't getting along with him and the second one is better for him? Imchegam yochal lachzor, could you back out at that point? The Knesset Yechezkel also says this. In Kiryas Hana Chavhei, that you can back out to take another job. Because with the second job, he gives a different argument. He says, you can always back out of the second job. Right? That's the whole point. So since you can back out of the second job, you're not becoming more of an Eved by leaving this job to take another one. You're still free, you're just as free to leave from the second one as you were free to leave from the first one. So he says not. And in general, the post can ignore this issue. The Chavos Yair in Kuvav in Source Yadala, the case of the Shivcha, this is another case where I thought the Pesach Choshen didn't read something quite the way that the text says it. The way that Pesach Choshen read the Chavos Yair raises an interesting question which we have not gone into, which is, how will all of these apply to a woman? When we talk about a poll, how will all these apply to a woman? Why should a woman be different from a man? No. You can't be Kona an Amo HaEvriya once she's already an adult, right? Amo HaEvriya stops at the age of maturity. So therefore the argument goes, all of this stuff about being like an Eved has no relationship whatsoever with an adult female. That's the argument. The Chavos Yair mentions that in his tshuva about Shivcha. So the way that Pesach Choshen reads the Chavos Yair is that he says, yeah, but we don't make new chilukim and nobody else has made such a chiluk before. But it's not what when you read the Chavos Yair, that's not what he's saying. The Chavos Yair is not talking about that. I brought it for you in Yudalit, and you can see it there. He says, Umilvazeh nira l'chorah shaya az od makom listabik benidon zeh. Shema hayinu im apoa chozer bo miyos poa l'shum adam. Maybe the ability to back out is only if he's not going to work for anybody. Because Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, Masha ein kein. We're now towards the end of the second line. Im holchi b'al bayis zev niskar etzal acher shenisher eved la'avadim. As opposed to if he's going to take another job, and then in the middle of the third line he says mikomakom lo nira li l'chalek b'chach klal. I don't think you should actually make such a chiluk just because it says Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim. The lo alim kniyas al adam b'kulei hay shim yachze bo yavsid masha asakvar. But the bottom line is that he's unsure. No, I didn't bring the shifcha piece. Because, like I said, that's not what his focus is. The shevchah piece is different. I'm sorry. I just flipped it. The Pesachei Tshuva says that his language of don't make no chilukim is about the discussion of leaving for another job. His actual use of don't make any new chilukim is regarding the shifcha distinction, not regarding the not leaving for another job. That was the way it worked. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is the Chavos Yair says, I am unsure about preventing somebody from walking away because he's going to take a new job. The Aruch HaShulchan says explicitly in Tezvav that you may back out from this, and even Yado HaAlyona, there is no reason you can't back out in order to take another position. That's the argument of the Aruch HaShulchan, which I brought you in Tezvav. Okay, so the upshot of this is that we have some very interesting debates on this score, but I think at the end of the day, backing out to take another job is accepted by the poskim. Backing out in order to improve one's financial position has a strong view against it. But still, many poskim who say this isn't the way we work. This is a free act for him to be able to do that. We're not going to say that that's not consistent. What about a kablan? Would these issues apply to a kablan as well? So a kablan, we say, lacks the ability to be chozer b'chatzi hayom. He does not have the ability to walk away b'chatzi hayom. I brought you in Tezayin Rashi, who makes that point. Rashi on Ayin Zayin. Shanle ben schirus l'kablanus, t'gabe schirus isa la'itayim adavadai heim v'lo avadim la'avadim. For a sachir, we have the point of, hey, don't be an eved. Aval b'kablanus ein z'eved ala atzmo. But a kablan is working for himself. And so you see in the Rama, in Shin Lama Gimel Beis, which I brought you in Yud Zayin, where he says the Malamed has this rule. And then at the end he says, more than kol po'el. And the same thing is true for any po'el, as opposed to a kablan. So what exactly is a kablan, who we say is working for himself, as opposed to the po'el, who is working for the balabayas? So Rav Asher Weitz notes that this is really a complicated issue. He has an article on Parshas Behar, and I gave you the reference in Yud Ches, But let's unpack it a little bit. The core idea, classically, of Paul versus Kablan is roughly but not precisely the distinction that is made in secular law between an employee and a contractor. Not fully, and this, some of that goes back to Jeffrey's points that he had made in previous weeks, where he has a third category, which is the guy who's just doing a job for you today, and he's not willing to call that person an employee. He's just, you know, someone who's working for you today, who you may be hiring by the hour, but he's still not employee with all that connotes. Nonetheless, in halacha, we have basically poel versus kablan, a poel being somebody you hire to work for you for a period of time, and a kablan being somebody you hire to do a particular job. Or you pay, I should say, not use the word hire, to do a particular job. So classically, the distinction would have been, a poel is somebody I hire and I say to him, you're going to work for me for 7 hours today in the field, and this is what I'm going to pay you for doing so. Whereas the kablan is the guy I turn to when I say, here are some materials, please make me a cabinet, and I'll pay you X number of dollars for the cabinet. And that was your classic distinction. In the first case, you're being paid to work at a particular period of time. In the other case, it's just, I need a product from you. The problem is, as Rav Asher Weitz notes, this is really difficult to apply to many forms of work in our day. For example, you have a telemarketer. Okay? The telemarketer's work takes a really long time for him to do. And so he is paid by the month. Right? He's paid by the month. So every every month, the end of March, the end of April, the end of May, whatever it is, he's getting a certain sum of money. He is not meshubah to work at a particular time. However, he is told, you have to call people and annoy them for the following, let's say for 50 hours this month. Right? He has a particular period of time. He's just not going to be paid by the hour, per se, but he's being paid to work for 50 hours over the course of the month. Right? So what do I call that? What if it's not that he's being paid to work 50 hours, but he's being paid to work for us this month, and he's being paid for a month of work? You just tell him he has to call 500 people. I don't care if you call 500 people in one night or if you call 500 people in 20 nights. But you have to call 500 people.
One element of that is time.
The fact that he's paid monthly.
Well, the fact he has control over his time.
Who has control?
The telemarketer.
The telemarketer has control. Except that he has to get it done within that month. Right. Another case, a farm worker. His work has to be completed by a particular time. You tell him, I want you to do my harvest for me. Mm-hmm. Right? It has to be done during the harvest season, but it's on his own schedule.
Every kavan is going to have some sort of, many kavan are going to have some sort of deadline.
Precisely. That's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. That's why this is a problem. And it was a problem even for their labor. Like, that's not a chiddush. That's not new. But they didn't write about it. That's the problem. Rav Asher Weiss points out that Maril Diskin in his Psakim, Reish Tesvav, asks that latter question about the harvest worker who has a deadline. Now what do you do? Or let's take the following case, which comes up in the postium. You hire the guy to build the cabinet. Everyone says that looks like a cobbling to them, right? And you tell him, okay, listen, I need the cabinet. I need it by a year from now. Okay, so can you get me the cabinet by a year from now? He says, yes. It's now 3 days before. You say, can I take a look at the cabinet just to see how it's doing? And you come in and your materials are there scattered on the floor. And you can see he's going to have to work nonstop for the next 3 days in order to get the cabinet done. Does that make him a poel now? Because now he has to work for those 3 days. His time is kavua. Yeah.
An important consideration be whether he could do other jobs in that time. Whether it's physically able to do other jobs and other things at that time.
So certainly from the secular perspective, the answer is yes. But we'll talk more about control of what his work is, but I was actually going to veer into the secular anyway. The secular law of employee versus contractor asks whether the parties are one entity or two entities. The worker and the boss. If they are one entity, they're considered part of the same unit, then the worker is an employee, and the employer is responsible for the employee's economic welfare, pays CPP, whatever it is. Whereas, if they are two entities, then the worker is a contractor. His tools are being used, but he takes care of his own economic welfare. So that's your distinction. I had originally on the source sheet links for the CRA and the IRS, but I wanted it to all fit, and so I took them out. But if anybody wants them, I can send you links for articles on this.
I know that was certainly an issue of someone that works so-called as an independent contractor, but works in regular hours.
Mm-hmm.
So that always comes up.
And that creates a question. One of the biggest questions is actually rabbinic. Is a shul rabbi an independent contractor or an employee? With all sorts of nakaminas, obviously, along with that. But the IRS rule says some of the things that are being said here. One is behavioral control, meaning directing how the work is done, makes him more of an employee, as opposed to, I don't care how you get me this cabinet, just get me the cabinet. Financial control, who pays expenses? How the expenses are paid, the relationship of the parties, are there benefits involved in the work arrangement? So, I'm going to show you three. Sorry.
So tools. Right. If you provide your own tools, you're a contractor.
Correct. I think they include that in relationship with the parties, but yes. So so three standards are offered by Achronim that may help. One is flexible hours. The Rosh Lomo Kluger says that it's about having flexible work hours. What I did here was, rather than go retype a Chachma Shlomo for you, because he's not on a cut-and-pastable source, I just cut-and-pasted Rav Asher Weiss quoting Rosh Lomo Kluger for you in Source Yechas. Vehine agon Rosh Lomo Kluger kasev l'chadesh b'shmu azu. Demisha sachar oso balabayis lasos b'malachto sach sha'os katsub b'chol chodesh. You hire somebody to do a certain number of hours each month. Ela shlo kava imo yamim misu yamim, but you didn't say it has to be on a certain day. Vehim yavod shachas in ben arbayim, or morning versus afternoon. Dino kekablon velo kepoel. Even though he's working a certain number of hours, he's called a kablan because he has control of when those hours are. He has flexible hours. Mishum shemahuso shel ha-poel kemahus ha-eved, taking the view that poel is the same as eved in nature, she'en biyado l'achlit l'kboa emas yasok b'malachto. He doesn't get to choose. An eved doesn't get to choose when he's going to work. So we're reversing the analogy. Instead of saying, I'm going to use Poel to define what Eved is, I'm using Eved to define what Poel is. By definition, it's like view number one out of our three views, or maybe view number three, because there are similarities. And he's bound to do work for you all day long. The one who doesn't have a particular time that he has to work, just a length of time he has to work, and that's a kabbalah. That's one line from the Chachma Shlomo. However, the Chachma Shlomo also wrote, Me'idah Kasav, the kabbalah shenischayev l'sayim malachto adzman misuyam, that if a kabbalah has to finish by a certain deadline, here you go, ve'azman docheik, and now he's stuck, he's on his last 3 days, ve'af balabayis yodeya de'yesho la'kabbalah lishkot ha'malachto b'chol shah adoso azman, and now the boss knows this guy's going to have to work for the next 3 days. He would not be able, Jerry, to take on a different job. Dino kepoel. Now he's a poel. He's just turned into a poel. I don't know when he did, at what exact moment, but he became a poel.
He's not contracted out to take another job for himself.
So that's actually going to be another point. It seems like here he's not entertaining that possibility, but we're going to bring subcontracting up. Yeah. Now he's a poel, and therefore now he can walk away. With 3 days left on the job, because he became a poel, he can walk away, he can back out. Just wait long enough and the problem goes away. It's like university. That's the idea. So Rav Asher Weiss says that Rav Shlomo Kluger thinks a kablan is the person who can choose when to work. That's his formulation, which he also links to a sma, which I did not bring in Reish Chav Zayin Nun Test for those who want to take a look at that. Yes, that's your definition. For a poel is somebody who does not have flexible hours. A kablan has flexible hours. The Truma Sadeshin says absolutely not. Of course, Truma Sadeshin is writing long before these, but the Truma Sadeshin says absolutely not. How do you know the Truma Sadeshin says no? Because remember that we said last week that one of the rules of Eved that we apply to Poel, according to the Rambam, is Onah, right? That there's no Onah for a Poel, but there is Onah for a Kablan. Well, look at this case in the Truma Sadeshin. Reuven sacharis Shimon avor asara zehuvim sheilechu lemedina ploni el Levi. Reuven hires Shimon, paying him to go to a certain place to Levi. Umaser lo ksavim elav l'shadech lo isha misham. He wants him to arrange to marry a certain woman there. V'yatzal darko la'achar shalosha yamim. 3 days later, he goes on the road. He's supposed to go there. Sorry, after 3 days. V'yatzal gimel shavuos, and he's supposed to come back within 3 weeks. So there's a set deadline for this journey. And he will not be bound to it any further. And in that case, says the Truma Sadeshin, I didn't bring you the full thing, having a deadline makes you a poel. Even if you choose when you are going to carry out your hours. Yes?
It makes you a poel?
Having a deadline makes you a poel.
Even
if you choose when to carry out your hours. In other words, even though you had flexibility. Correct. He says, having the deadline makes you a poel. There's a problem because of Shin Chav Tes in Source Chav, where I didn't really want to go into it. I'm not sure why I left it on the sheet. But he talks there about the worker hired for the grape harvest. And he calls the worker in the grape harvest a kablan, even though it's a set time. So the Pesach Choshen has a piece trying to resolve this, in which he talks about whether having a deadline makes you an Eved regarding Onah, versus whether having a deadline makes you an Eved as far as Chazara. He argues for different standards. It's worth seeing. It's just, I was trying to save time. But the Pesach Choshen is in Chelek Dalet. It's in Perek Yud Aleph, Ha'ara Yud Aleph. And it's worth seeing it. He has this distinction between the effect of flexibility on these two different rules.
It doesn't make any sense, because let's say you had a 3-month deadline to do a job that to complete a task that would take 2 hours.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? That you would then be a poel, considered a poel.
So Chachma Shlomo says no. Not until you've waited until your last 2 hours. The Chacham Shlomo says, no, you're a Kabbalah. Okay. But the Trumas Adeshin seems to think you are a Powell because you have to work a certain number of hours.
Waiting the last...
Yeah.
Oh, it's not talking about the whole time.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But that's your first standard, is do you have flexible hours? Second standard is the Machane Ephraim, and that's drawn from Eved, the flexible hours. The second standard is the Machane Ephraim. Machane Ephraim goes back towards what Jerry was saying, and he says it's control of the task to be performed. And again, it's about the similarity to Eved. Meaning, in the event that I hire Ellie, and I say, Ellie, I want you to harvest my grapes. Then I come to him in the middle of the day and I say, you know what? I don't want you to harvest grapes. I want you to reshelve the books. I can't do that. That's not what you were hired for. However, in Eved, you tell him to do this, you tell him to do that, whatever it is, you have control of whatever task it is that he is going to be doing. So the Machane Ephraim says in Chaf Aleph, he says, regarding this idea that Poel Gufo Kano de Baal Habayis, why did I bring them that Machane Ephraim? I thought I was bringing a different Machane Ephraim. It is Chaf Aleph. He says, regarding the idea that a Poel Gufo Kano de Baal Habayis, Kmosh Kasva Ritva, in his Chidushim Im Bav Metzia, Bav Metzia Daf Yud, Kasha Diu Gufe Kasav, that Yeshlo Ono, the Swiss poem Lavi Memker, Venira Shehu Mechalik Ben Hecha De Nisker Eitzel Baal Habayis L'chol Melacha. That's what I should have underlined. I underlined the wrong part. I don't know why. But he says that the distinction is between where he's hired for any work. Da'az chashiv gufo kanui. D'yachol l'shanozu b'chol malacha sheyir. Then he's called owned, so to speak, because the boss can tell him to do whatever. Masha'enke b'socher pol l'malacha yidu'a, as opposed to where you hire him to do a particular task. De'edu chashiv kanui yetzlo. Then he's not considered to be purchased, so to speak. Shema'enu yachol l'shanozu malacha cheres. You can't give him other work. And therefore, he is now a Kabbalan, not a Poel. Yes, Jerry.
Isn't this a classic situation with Chetzah and Gavra?
Yes. I mean, yes and no. I don't think you need to resort to Chetzah and Gavra.
What is the preponderance aspect of it? Is it the Chetzah or is it the Gavra? And that should be the test.
Yes. I mean, that's essentially what he's saying, by saying control of the task to be performed. Because I didn't go there. The one who really would go with that, Jerry, is Rav Asher Weiss. Rav Asher Weiss's argument is to say, it depends on whether you're being paid for the task or paid for your personal time. And the difference will be depending on whether you're being compensated at all based on the amount of time invested. So, yeah. No? Okay.
I just thought that was in the Shulchan Aruch, and I'm just confused that all these other options, like they talked on Malami, it is a poem for that reason, like it's based on why you're paying at the rate time.
Right, I think the issue is that the Shulchan Aruch's language is vague enough that you could manage to squeeze in other explanations of what the Shulchan Aruch means.
Okay.
I think that's why you see all the back and forth on this. And there's way more back and forth. I just tried to condense it.
So what does that mean for the town marketer? He's being paid 50 hours at the end of the month.
Right. So if you're committed to a certain number of hours of work, then you're being paid based on the amount of time invested. That would be, I think, the conclusion on this. So Rav Asher Weiss says it in Chav Beis. V'l'chora hayanira mistaber tfei, di'ikar ahevdol shabein ha-poel ha-kablam bazeh, she-notel ha-poel sachar avor etzem avodaso u-poelo. The poel is being paid for his actual work activity. Masha'inkein, ha-kablan she-notel sachar al-totza'at ma'asav she-asalabaylem. The kablan is getting paid based on the result that he provided. I don't care if he did outsource it. Right? He could have sent the materials to China and gotten a cabinet back. As long as no melamine, I'm fine. The v'kevun shekach nira da'af mi shebiyado l'sander z'man avodasa m'sachol afi z'man po'al l'v'zman po'al lo akati po'al that's his statement, and that seems to be the meaning of the Magid Mishnah.
But what happens when you have a combination? First is paid on an hourly wage, plus also gets a bonus based upon whatever
performance.
Or a person, a telemarketer who gets a certain commission on what he raises, plus he's getting a base rate.
So I would think that as long as the base contract is based on the hours that he puts in, that would be my ikker. Yeah. I would think so. That would be my spark.
Not compulsory.
Yeah. The Magid Mishnah, the Magid Mishnah seems to take this view in Chav Gimel, as does the Evan Ezel, the Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, I was going to bring for you, but I did not. But it's in the Evan Ezel to Hilchos Mechira Yud Gimel Yud Ches. They seems to say the same thing. And Rabbi Yoel cited in the Mordechai seems to say the same thing as well. The Rav Asher Weiss notes that the non-equation of Eved with Kablan brings us back to our Ritva. That Ritva, which I started with today, that little note about, but we talked about more last week, that the idea that when a kinyan is made, except when you accept the work, maybe that prevents you from being able to back out later. So that may be because the logic may be that making such a kinyan turns you into a kablan. Turns you into a kablan. And he sees that in the language of the Ritva. Take a look at source Chav Dalet. Chazina neifo or chadash b'halacha zu. Dekeven shasu kinyan nasa poke kablan. Keven shebezeh chiyeves atzmo lahashlim hamalacha im ba'atzmo im al yedei achirim. When you are a poel, you're hired to do the work. When you're a kablan, you're hired for the result, and therefore, doesn't matter how you get the result. You can hire somebody else. You can subcontract the job out. And in fact, you're obligated to do so in order to get it done. Umehacha nishma, the yachal apol lasos dino kekablan, which means that a poel can turn himself into a kablan with this kinyan. The Havalava, he lomatinu shea poem chuyav liskor poem tahtav lamalach of makam sha'anu su'alaya. Elabakablan levado. He says, look, we talked about the case in which the poel is sick. Can't do the work. And we ask the question, so is he paid? Isn't he paid? But no one said he had an obligation to go find people to work in his stead. That didn't dawn on anybody. That's not a rule of a poel. But it is a rule of a kablan. And so if you accept a type of responsibility where you would need to find somebody else to fill your shoes, now you are a kablan. And so he says, and here's that language that throws me off regarding the Ritva, Shma mina masne hapoel bekinyan lios kekablan lischayev al avodaso. He can make a tenai to be like a kablan, and therefore to be obligated in making sure that this work gets done. So he isn't like an eved now, but he has the chumra of a poel in terms of being required to do the work himself. Ideally,
if he gets sick, then he doesn't get paid.
Correct. But he wasn't going to get paid anyway. But now means he has an obligation to actually go get somebody else. And in the event he doesn't get somebody else, then true, he will not get paid. But he had an obligation in this agreement to go do so. He's going to get a bad rating
Isn't that against the Gemara? The Gemara talks about a kablan and a poel who get sick.
And again,
never mentions hiring anybody else. I don't understand.
But the idea that when you say, I'm going to make sure this gets done,
I understand it perfectly, logically.
Right.
Right. Just as you said, no one ever suggested this by a poel. No one ever suggested it for a kablan either.
Okay.
It's a bit bizarre.
It is. But take a look at Machane Ephraim, because in Chavei, he also basically leads into this idea, and the argument is made that it can be in the Nimuka Yosef also. But I brought you the Machane Ephraim. But I had a time with the Kevin Shechiv Atzmo Bekach Harizen Nasa Allah were in Chavei Pesach. He says, Kevin Shechiv Atzmo Bekach Harizen Nasa Allah. Since he obligated himself to it, he now has an obligation to do it. Whether he's going to do it personally or whether other people are going to do it, assuming he can't do it. The guy said, "I'm going to do this for you." Or I didn't say that. He said, "I'm going to do it for you." Nonetheless, he has a chiyuv to make sure that somebody does it for him. he has incurred a debt to this other, to this, I don't know what to call him now, employer, boss, person paying salary, I don't know what you want to call him. It's not called a salary either. But it's a fascinating idea, and you can find it also in the Chazon Ish. In his article, he says it's Chazon Ish Bava Kama Chafalav Chavtes, but it's not. It's in Chav Gimel Chavav. It's not Chav Gimel Chavtes either. It's Chav Gimel Chavav. I don't know. But it's a fascinating idea, and it's a different spin on that idea in the Ritva about Kenyan being effective for this. Okay. Last leg. Under what circumstances may one become an Eved? Okay, now that we've discussed the Ritva, we've discussed the Ketos, we talked about whether you can leave Avdus in ways that seems to perpetuate Avdus, and we've thrown in, you know, Paul and Kablam for good measure. When can you become an Eved? So the most obvious answer is what we already saw in the Rambam, in Hilchos Avadim Aleph Aleph, I brought it for you again in Chavav, where he said, the end of the line, the Ein Adam Rasha, then Korzatzmo, actually, Yishor Lo Klum. A person is not allowed to sell himself unless he's got nothing left. To the point where he would lose his clothing. Fine, then sell yourself. The Shach brings this in Shin Lama Gimel Tezayin. Chavazor brings it in Kuf Mem. The Laharos Nassan comments on it in Chavzayin, Rav Nassan Gishtetner, saying, even if there is an Isser for the worker, that Isser would be parallel to Ki Yamuch. Right? When the Torah says in Parshas Bahar, Ki Yamuch Achicha, when your brother is indigent, and then that's when you buy him, so now he's Mach. Right? Now the Yisr doesn't apply. He is now Mach. He is now indigent. And he goes into the ear-piercing Gemara to make his point. He says, in Chav Zayin, V'Yisr Zeli Himacher Kishalav Hani Legamri Eino Migedu Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim. And this is what I had mentioned last time when we talked about why you're not allowed to sell yourself. He says, the Rambam's view that you're not allowed to sell yourself as long as you're not broke is not under Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim. And he goes into that further. He points out that the Tosefta and Erchin says you're not allowed to sell your Steachuza unless you're indigent. That doesn't fit into the Bnei Yisrael Avadim. That has nothing to do with being an Eved. Because it says Kiyamu Chachicha. So he says, this isn't about Kili Bnei Yisrael Avadim. We learn it from Kiyamuch. That's where it comes from. Here too, so too here, it's just like the field, it's about not being in Kiyamuch. And then he continues to say, Avol, mitam kili b'nei Yisrael avadim lo matzinu b'rambam shiyavi iser zeh. The Rambam does not bring it under kili b'nei Yisrael avadim. I'm going to skip just because this is already what we talked about. But if you flip the page, he says, even within the view that said that Libanei Yisrael Avadim is the issue, nonetheless, when he is especially poor, the Torah says you're allowed to sell yourself. Then there's no issue of Kili. Everything falls away, even the Ketosis Derabban. He says, I can prove it to you. Mehad the Amru B'Kiddushin, from the Gemara Kiddushin, which says, Ozen Shasham of Arsinai, Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim, Halach, Hakana, Adon, Atzmo, Yiratza. Right? We said that in the event that at the end of his 6 years, he says, I want to stay as an Eved, then he has to have his ear pierced. And we said, because he heard Hashem say, sort of at Arsinai, Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim. V'lecha Rakasha. That's difficult. Because in that case, why didn't you pierce his ear when he sold himself in the first place? Mm-hmm. Why are you piercing his ear now? So he says, the answer is, when he sold himself, Hayani Bioser. He was really poor. Nimza Shemachar Atzma Bershus. He had the right to sell himself. There's no reason to pierce his ear. He didn't break anything at that point. The Torah says, go sell yourself. The Luanos. But now he says, Ahavdi Es Adoni. I like being an Eved. I like being an Eved. Ha! Now you get your ear pierced. That's the way that he reads it.
Clearly says Adon.
Yes. Yeah. Questions, of course, include, what if he really is broke come year 7? He may be saying Ahavdi Es Adoni, but the answer is I'm broke. And I would have said maybe Ha'anaka was meant to prevent that. You get gifts when you finish. Mm-hmm. Except Ha'anaka, according to the Rambam, doesn't apply to a Mocher Atzmo.
Neither does Neither does having their ear pierced.
Right, so I was wondering whether Ritzia does also.
Whatever, it doesn't.
So,
but also that doesn't work with the other half of the Memra, which is Xela.
Right.
It's just a very far-fetched.
The other question would be, what if he acquires money midterm? Should he get his ear pierced now for staying, mm-hmm. instead of for not buying himself out? So Geshenner answers that one. He says, maybe it's only when you make the Kenyan that you have a problem. Fine. But the fact that you have permission to become an Eved in these circumstances does not mean that one has any obligation to take that on, which is interesting. The Rambam writes in Echaz Manos Ani, and I brought it for you in Yud Yud Ches, that you should get a job. You should not need the assistance of others. Press yourself first. Don't make the community support you. Right? Even if you were a respected person who never needed to work a day, and then you come down in your fortunes, so go get a craft. And even if it's a low-level one, don't get the assistance of others. And he goes on with illustrations, and he says, look at the Gdolei Chachamim who chopped wood, who carried boards, who drew water, and so on. So the Rambam wants you to get a job. He doesn't say become an Eved. Right? That's not on his list of things to do. This comes up in the situation of a debtor. Someone has a debt and he can't pay it off. The Rush has this very comical question. It was comical for everybody but the party involved. Where somebody had lent someone a very large sum of money, and the fellow defaulted on the debt and said, "I have no assets for you to take." He had given them all away to his relatives. And now he's living with his relatives who are supporting him, but he has no money. And so the creditor says, "I want him to get a job." And he comes to the Rush and says, "What do we do?" Because the basin. What do we do? Can we force him to get a job? And the Rush says, "I'm sorry, we can't force someone to take a job." That's the Rush's tshuva in Chavtes. He says, you can't force somebody to go to work. Much as parents would like to. So that's what he brings in Chavtes. And this is brought in the Shulchan Aruch. It's brought, I didn't bring it on the sheet, but it's in Choshen Mishpat, Tzadi Zayin, Tezvav, and it's developed in the Bach as well. You can't force someone to take a job. And the reason why, as the Chazon Ish notes, in the Chazon Ish is in Bava Kama Chav Gimel Chav Ches. Oh, I did bring that. No, it's a different piece from Chazon Ish. Never mind. Chazon Ish said in Bava Kama Chav Gimel Chav Ches says there's no obligation because the Torah talks about selling somebody as an Eved Ivri for Gnei Vaso, not for Chovo. Not for his debts. So there's no obligation to take work in order to pay a debt. So you are allowed to become an Eved. A person is allowed to become an Eved in the event that he becomes indigent, but he has no chiyuv to do so, and he can't even be forced to take a job in order to pay off debts.
What does that mean? That means he has enough money to live on, but he can't pay his debts?
Yeah, or he's getting support that he's living on. But the support isn't sufficient to pay his debts. Yeah.
So why would anyone become an Eved Ivri then in that case? If they don't have to? Go on waiting for this?
Because he knows now for the next 6 years, he's covered. They're going to take care of him. Room, board, food, everything is covered. He gets a better bed in the house, right? That whole discussion. He can't be given avodas parach that we talked about. He can't be given avodas aved. The answer is, that was what it was. It was a safety net. What about... to perform a mitzvah. What about, can you become an Eved in order to perform a mitzvah? And there are two heterim. One of the cases that comes up is a fellow who wants to take a job as a sofer to write a Sefer Torah. He's got to live in somebody's house for 3 years. And he's worried about the 3-year rule. So his question is, can I do that though? It's in order to write a Sefer Torah. So would I be allowed to do so? So there are two heterim that are brought for this. Heter number one is, then you're not avadim la avadim. You are now an Eved Hashem. That's the Chavos Yair that I referenced before about teaching someone to lane. That's the Chavos Yair. It's in source Lamed. He says here, Davka Poel, Vafilu Malame de Osir Bagos Mordechai, Mikomako Makarch, Ein Heter Bishar Shenotel, Rak Schar Shimur, Biske Tamim, Dene Mitzvah Hashem, Mashe Ein Kena Chazen. He doesn't like it for Malamed. Malamed, he says, you can't get away with that. You're a babysitter. The Mashenkin Achazan, sorry, Shakal Atzmo Eino Rak Lahotzi Tzibur La'avdo Apulchan Aroi. He says, the job of a Chazan is to fulfill the mitzvahs for the community. His job is Avodat Hashem. V'afilu Nichla B'scharo Mashem Meshorer. And even if you count the singing as part of it, we'll leave aside the classic view of Chazanim among the Rabbanim. But even if he's also being paid for singing, nonetheless, Nikamakam. Hoel Shev Mikabed, yes, sorry. Hoel Shev Mikabed, Bekorodo Hashem Me Hono, Imashachanono. Since he is honoring Hashem from Hono, meaning that which Hashem has given him, Umisamea Halokim Ba'anashim, Lo Nikra Bekach Eved Avadim. He's not an Eved Avadim, he's an Eved Hashem. And that is brought to explain the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, which I brought you in Lamed Aleph, regarding an apotropos. Somebody becomes a legal guardian. Someone is appointed to administer an estate of Yisomim. Once he starts working, he's not allowed to back out. Why not? That makes him an Eved. The answer is no. He's involved in Chesed. This is Avodas Hashem. Hashem is the Avi Yisomim. So he is taking care of the Yisomim. Now he's an Eved Hashem, not an Eved Abadim. The case of hiring yourself out as a sofer will not surprise you. It's found in the Chashuk Echemet. It's Chashuk Echemet to get in Mem Aleph. It's the case of taking a 3-year deal to live in someone else's house and write a Sefer Torah. But that's one heter, is you're not Eved Abadim. The other heter that's brought is that the mitzvah you're engaged in overrides the Isser of Eved Abadim. And that is a Mahalach and the Chazanish, which I brought you in Lamed Beis. He's dealing with this question of having to take a job in order to pay a debt. And the Chazanish says, V'nir de b'shar mitzvah saseh, chayav la'askir atzmo. He thinks that in order to fulfill any mitzvah saseh other than repaying a debt, you have to hire yourself out. V'davka priyascho, shudavar shalmamon, hadavar kavua, she'eno mishtavet kolkach. He says, paying a debt is a different story. I don't really understand what he means when he says it's different because it's davar shalmamon. Of course it's davar shalmamon. I don't really follow what he means by that. But he says, normally, you do have to take a role as an Eved in order to be able to fulfill a mitzvah. Your mitzvah overrides it, unless, he goes on to say, it's bizayon, and then you can say, God will cover the brios, because his lack of fulfillment of the mitzvah saseh is only shevi al taseh. But that would be your second heter to become an Eved, to perform mitzvah, is because your mitzvah overrides the iser of avadim la avadim. That's the idea. For more on this, see the Pesach Choshen in Chelek Dalet in Perek Zayin Ha'ara Gimel, and in Pesach Choshen Chelek Aleph Perek Beis Halacha Vav. There's a lot more to say about it. The last thing was to talk about what about becoming an Eved to support your spouse. No jokes. Becoming an Eved in order to support your spouse. The Mishnah in Ksubos in Source Lama Gimel talks about a fine for a Moreid al Ishto, someone who rebels against his wife, and how he's going to have to pay an extra 3 dinar on his Ksuba for each week that he is Moreid. Or Rabbi Yudah says 3 tropikin. And the Gemara there talks about what Moreid means, and the answer is it includes financial merit when he says, I'm not going to support her. So he has a fine now because he's not supporting his wife. We're going to make him pay. So Tosfos there, I'm just rushing because I see that I have very little time left. The Tosfos there brings 2 different views about whether you must get a job in order to support your wife. Rabbeinu Eliyahu says, you have to get a job. First of all, look at that Gemara. And second, he says, he said it in the Ksuba, I'm going to work.
Hi. It's a contract.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, there's no such duty to get a job. He says, first of all, the Gemara here is talking about where he refuses to support her opposite her Maisei Yadayim that she's bringing in. That's number one. Number two, he says, Ana Eflach is about working in the field. It's not about getting a job. It's about working on your land. The Mordechai in Ksuvos brings the view of Rabbeinu Tam. If he has money, we make him support, but we don't force him to get a job. Why does Rabbeinu Tam agree that there is a duty to plow, just not to get a job? So there are a few different answers. One answer is it's about intent. The Machaneh Ephraim says it's all about what you intended at the time, and that's what I brought you in Lamed Hay. the intent of Ana Eflach is that he's going to work in the field. And not only that, it's in her field that she's bringing into the marriage. That's what you meant with Ana Eflach. So I saw an article by a fellow of Daniel Ben Eliyahu. I don't know who he is. But he made the argument that if it's really psychological, it's not what you intended, then maybe you make the argument that today, Ana Eflach means I'm going to get a job. Because today, most of us don't work in fields. And most women don't bring fields into marriages. Maybe now it will be about getting a job. He also gives two other answers about Shivud Ishus. If anybody wants the article, I can email you the article. But he argues that the Rambam is of the belief that the Rambam sides with Rabbeinu Tam, that you're not Meshubah to it, and the Raivit follows Rabbeinu Eliyahu. Because the Rambam writes, if a woman breaks Kalim in the house, while working in the house, she is Petura as a Takana for Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis, she breaks your mug, leave it be. Don't demand payment for the mug. Bad idea. That's the Rambam. The Ravid, on the other hand, says she's Pater because he is Sahur La. He is hired to her, and therefore it's Pshia Bebaylim. She was careless, but the Bailim were in her employ at the time. That's what the Ravid says. It's in Hevozishas, Chafal Test. So he says, the Ravid is like Rabbeinu Eliyahu. I know Eflach means he's Sachur La, he has to go get a job. And the Rambam is like Rabbeinu Tam, it's just Shalom Bayis. That was a nice ending for the Shir. Shkayach.